Well, it seems like time flies so fast, especially when we get older, like I'm experiencing. And here we are, another year and another first of God's holy days, the first day of unleavened bread, and the first day in this whole cycle of God's holy days that we have to teach us God's ways. When I was growing up, if you asked anyone in my family about the holy days, you would have gotten just a blank stare because we didn't know anything about the holy days. We've heard of Yom Kippur, but didn't know anything about that, just something the Jews did. And you know, here I am, and here we are, all of us, observing God's holy days. You know, God has opened just an awesome truth for us, just not that we're able to keep the holy days, which is one truth that God revealed to us, but what they mean, the meaning of the holy days, that they picture God's whole plan for mankind. How did this come to be? Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'd like to emphasize that word gift because it is an awesome gift that God gives us, and through that we have this understanding that He gives us. My title today is The Helper, because that's what Christ called it. He said He was going to send a helper to us. I've been doing a personal Bible study the last few days here on the Holy Spirit, and I thought it'd be good to share some of these things with you. That's what I would like to do this afternoon. You know, the world is so totally confused about the Holy Spirit, what it is and what it does. But I think the more we understand the Holy Spirit, you know, how it works in us and how God has given it to us for our understanding, the more humble we'll be and the more appreciative we'll be as we need to be to God for what He's done for us. Some time ago, quite a while, I don't remember just when, I gave a sermonette on the scripture, 1 John 2:27. I would like to go back and read that again. 1 John, Seems like my pages are kind of sticking together here today. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from Him or abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him or in it. And I mentioned back then, if you look at the context, which we need to do, people have used this scripture for an excuse that we don't need teachers, we don't need congregations, we don't need to meet together, we can just be hermits and wait for God's kingdom. But the context here, John was talking about false teachers, and a better rendering that would be, you don't need certain ones to teach you, you know, false doctrines when you already know the true doctrines. That's even more clear, I think, in some other translation. I'm using the New King James. But in the margin here of my Bible, in 1 John 2:27, it refers back to John 14. So I would like to go back there. John 14, verse 26, is another scripture that's used for the same argument. But the help here that Christ calls it the helper. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What does the Holy Spirit actually do? Does it do a memory dump? People want to sometimes think that it does. I think it's safe to say that none of us, when we were baptized and had our hands laid on us, all of a sudden knew all things. You know, I certainly didn't. John 13 begins what Christ had to say here. John's account of the Last Supper, the last meeting that Christ had with his disciples and a chance to really talk to them at length before the crucifixion, before he was led away and condemned and crucified. And in verse 30, he comes to the point here where Judas had just received the piece of bread from Christ and went on out to betray Christ. In verse 30, he says, having received the piece of bread, he then went out, and immediately it was night. And then Christ continues on this long discussion with his disciples there, this same night, and it goes clear on through John 17. So it's quite a long discussion that he had with his disciples, and some of this was read during the Passover service. Going back to where I was here in John 14, just starting in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I was present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now here again, he does call it a helper. The word teach here in verse 26 comes from the Greek word to learn. And so Christ is really promising the disciples here a helper that's going to come to help them to learn, to give them understanding. He's already been teaching them for 3.5 years, but these things really haven't sunk in yet because they don't have the Holy Spirit. So once they have the Holy Spirit, Christ has said to them, then you'll understand more. That will help you to understand. I just look back in John 12, verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. You may also just in passing here look at chapter 13, verse 7. Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing to you, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will after this. And so, there are things that Christ taught him. In fact, he taught him for 3.5 years, and yet there are things that I think as you read through the Gospels, they didn't really understand. And once the Holy Spirit came, it all of a sudden made sense. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. So what does it do? It gives us understanding that we don't have without the Holy Spirit. Every human has certain mental abilities, attributes, aptitudes, things that we do and things that we don't do well. You know, our minds are somewhat unique. I've heard my wife Karen say a number of times, I don't do math. Well, sure she does math, but it's far from her favorite subject. She does history. She can name all the British kings in order. Well, I've enjoyed math, but I don't do history. The only British king I can name is King George VI, and that's because I saw the movie. So the names and dates just go in one side of my mind and out the other. But the Holy Spirit gives us an ability that God has really withheld from the rest of the world that hasn't had that imparted to their mind. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In the news recently, there's been a report of this large hadron collider. Maybe you've seen that in the news. The scientists have built this huge machine. It's 17 miles in circumference, and it spans the French-Swiss border. And they're smashing protons together at nearly the speed of light, trying to find a missing particle in their model of the atom. And they think they've found it. They call it the God particle, of all things. But scientists come up with the theories and models of the universe, and every one is of a layer deeper, and it's different from the previous one. They always are finding more and more. And the same thing with the human body. They discover how things work, and then a lower level, they're more complicated, and a lower level, they're more complicated than that. And they come down now to the DNA and how we're all programmed internally and right in our cells. And it just, I can't cease being amazed at how deeply men can dig into how the universe is put together, how matter is put together, how our bodies are put together, and are completely blinded that it's a creation of God. Well, someday soon there's going to be a great awakening, and it's going to be very startling for almost everyone on this earth. And God says every knee will bend. And I think that's really part of the purpose that he's working out. There's going to be such a shock when people realize that there he is, the creator of all of this, and it's going to be so humbling to the whole world, and every knee will bend. Well, I'm in 1 Corinthians 2. Let's just back up to verse 11. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the spirit of man allows men to learn the things of man. We're born as a physical being with a human spirit, but at birth we don't know anything. We start learning. We have to go to school to learn. And so again, there's no memory dump there. And neither does the Holy Spirit do a memory dump. It gives us abilities to understand that we didn't have otherwise. There are many examples of the apostles that were taught their disciples even after they were baptized, because they were still learning and understanding. I might just go to one example in Acts 19. Acts 19, starting in verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And he said to them, "You have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Which then were you baptized?" And so he said, "Unto John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." Then they, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with languages and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So he took the disciples and then just taught them separately in a different place. The Bible tells us that the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We've read that many times. It's in Romans 1:20. And we've been taught the analogy between human conception and birth being analogous really to the Holy Spirit uniting with the human spirit that's in our mind, in our body, and leading us then to a path to be born into the kingdom of God. It's really like the Holy Spirit, you might say, fertilizing our minds, allowing it to grow in ways that it never could without the Holy Spirit. It gives a special understanding, but it gives us an awful lot more. Let's just look at maybe some of the other things that we can see. Back in Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Back in John 14, it also called it the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit gives wisdom, wisdom that we wouldn't have otherwise. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says it gives us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I won't turn there. That was 2 Timothy 1:7, but I do want to turn to Galatians. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So it's quite a list of things. Power, love, sound mind, gentleness, self-control, joy, love, gentleness, faithfulness. All these things the Holy Spirit really imparts. It really gives us a whole different personality. I think if we think back to when we were baptized, you know, some of us a long time ago, just think how you have changed in your personality, and that really due to God's Holy Spirit. We have many problems now in this world, and they're only getting worse, but it says here we can have long suffering. We can endure these things, and we can have peace of mind. Bible talks about the birth pains of entering God's kingdom. I'll just give a reference, verse 8, Romans 8:22. And again, there are going to be difficulties, and God calls them, you know, birth pains. But what we have to look forward to, God's kingdom, is, you know, makes it all worthwhile. Just like a woman giving birth, as the Bible says, soon she forgets all the pain that she went through. Again, the Holy Spirit gives power to overcome and to stand against evil. I'd like to turn to Ephesians, which is close by here. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, we've read this many times too. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all things, all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to abide, are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So with God's Spirit, we have power to withstand and make it to the end. Well, I'm in Ephesians here. Another thing we can think of that the Holy Spirit gives us. Ephesians 2:18. I'm sorry. 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So the Holy Spirit opens up a communication path between us and God the Father. I think of it as taking away a veil from our minds when Christ died, the veil of the temple was split in half, and so you could look in and see the Holy of Holies. And that represented an open path between man and God. And I sort of picture a veil being taken off of our eyes and off of our minds by the Holy Spirit, so we have this channel or this path between us and God, and God the Father. I just look back in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26, this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray and what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings and which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit gives us a path and helps us to know how to pray and how to communicate with God the Father. First Corinthians 3:16 tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And let's look at Romans, just back up in Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And going on, I think this is one of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit opens up to us in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the last item I had mentioned here is that the Holy Spirit opens up a path to eternal life. We can be born into the very kingdom of God, and God says that we can be sons. So there are two great gifts that God gives us with the Holy Spirit. Two great gifts, really. One is physical life, just the ability to have life and to live and to learn from experiences of this life. And then the Holy Spirit, which gives us true understanding and a way to look forward to God's kingdom and being a part of it. So we are starting a holy day sequence here with this first holy day. And God has given us this wonderful gift of knowledge that we can understand what the holy days mean, what they picture. The Passover commemorated Christ sacrificing his life, taking on himself all of our sins, cleansing us that we might have that portion of the Holy Spirit given to us as cleaned up human beings with a fresh mind and a whole new personality and a whole new way of understanding and looking at things. So we need to meditate on the Holy Spirit, what it does for us, and being truly thankful that we have this Spirit that God has put within us, allowing us to work to be what God wants us to be, his very sons. Well, this is a holy day, and we always take up an offering on the holy days, which we don't otherwise. If you need an envelope, this would be a good time to raise your hand, and the ushers have envelopes to pass out. We've read so many times Deuteronomy 16:16, but it just says that three times or three seasons in a year you are to appear before God and not appear before him empty. We are to give as we are able and blessed. You know, these are very difficult times in the world, difficult times for almost every organization and states and countries. And we just heard that in Cyprus now the banks are going to be confiscating portions of people's savings accounts to keep the banks afloat. And so there are really difficult problems facing this world, especially financial problems. And it's really hard for the church to escape these things as well. And so there are real needs. An email came out from Peter Eddington just a day or two ago, and quite a long email, 10 pages, but he lists a whole lot of comments that have come into the church, written comments and email comments, people being inspired by the telecast and by the booklets and by things that have been sent out, and people asking for help, people asking for, you know, how do I keep the holy days, how do I do this, how do I do that. I will put it back on the back table. I think it's quite inspiring, and if you have a chance, take a look at it. The offerings do provide a blessing for many through the church, and they provide a blessing for us as well. God says as we give, he's going to bless us.